4. You have almost made it all the way to the end of the show with me. So fun. Okay, so I mentioned at the start of the show, and for those of you who aren't listening, one thing about when I'm like in my little mini studio here, all cozy, it's kind of comical, I'm not going to lie. I've got a cup of hot tea on the floor next to me. I'm under a blanket. Pretty much couldn't move if I tried. Like I've trapped myself in a little corner. You'd have to see it, but basically just believe me, I'm trapped in a little corner. So during that commercial break, I swear I heard someone on the other side of my house. Well, here's the problem. If I get up and we come back from break, you just get air, you just get silence, right? So I'm just giving y'all this warning because it could in fact be that the chipmunks have breached, the household and I'm under attack. And if so, I'm putting this out there for future, you know, for future use. I'll go ahead and just scream out into the mic, chipmunk attack. And y'all know it's happened. Sean has my address. He can send some, he can send somebody to pick up my chipmunk attacked body. All kidding aside, yeah, that was eerie, but we're going to roll with it. Okay. If there is something or someone in my house, it is what it is. All right. So we've talked about Auburn University. Here's the thing is Auburn has been incredibly responsive to my request for comments. They've been incredibly responsive. They are like, not it, not doing it. We are where we need to be. We have taken all the necessary precautions which leads to the conclusion, if something is happening, it could be some rogue employees. And then that begs the question, what are they going to do about it? Will they take decisive action? And that's going to be on the university president and the board of trustees and the, you know, supervisor to figure all of that out and to do so in a timely manner. And we're watching and waiting for that to happen. Okay. Crazy thing. So Birmingham City Council. What in the world? Yes, I'm talking about, for just a brief moment, a story about coming out of Birmingham. Birmingham City Council, I don't know who thinks this is a good idea. I don't. I'm going to say the words and then you guys process this. The city of Birmingham brought in a California-based homeless project nonprofit to help in Birmingham. Because we all know how incredibly well the state of California, Los Angeles, and how they are, we all know how well they have done with their problems there, right? And so, of course, it makes sense to take a leftist, liberal funded group out of California and then give them upwards of over $3 million dollars in two different contracts to help the homeless population in Birmingham. Does that seem like a good idea? Well, not only is that bad idea happening, the group showed up to a farmer's market, a family-friendly farmer's market at a church. We won't discuss how liberal the church is because I can't clean my eyeballs enough after having seen some of what's at the church. But they show up at this farmer's market with I'm just going to say the F word. Okay. No effery signs. There's a signage, like, you know, the pop-up signs and banners. Okay. I don't know what part of this seemed like a good idea, but I'm going to say that maybe the judgment of those involved in these multi-million dollar contracts coming out of California into Birmingham, Alabama, maybe their judgment not so great. And then as an extension of that, maybe the judgment of, I don't know, the mayor of Birmingham, not so great. Here, the fact of the matter is Birmingham does have a homelessness problem. But like all liberal cities around the countries, all liberal places, mayors live in this la-la land that if we just throw good money after bad on not working programs and not working nonprofits will be better. It'll get better. This group actually, as I was investigating, and I say investigating, as I was looking into their really offensive signage, they're really offensive. Apparently they have t-shirts they run around in that say this across the front. As I was looking into this, I found a post where they were like, we've helped 11 people get homes in 6 months. I wonder how much that has cost. I wonder what the cost effectiveness is on that. Have you guys seen the cost when people run down how much money, exactly how much money is spent per homeless person? And by the way, I know there's a preferred liberal term of unhoused, but I think that changing the words doesn't make the situation any better or different. And so I don't know if you've seen the amount of money per person that is being wasted in these nonprofits. And then the nonprofits basically funnel them in and around, and the nonprofit, the people who are involved on the highest end of the nonprofit, they're out there living in houses, you know, look at Black Lives Matters. They're out there driving the nicest cars, living in the nicest houses. Meanwhile, the people who actually need the services aren't getting them. People were really offended. I, as a Birmingham resident, was really offended to see that this group didn't have the situational awareness not to use ginormous no-effery banners and signage at a family-friendly farmer's market. It's just silly time. They, on their website, say that for those who do not understand this, that basically it comes from, oh gosh, I got to find it now. But they defend their use of that statement saying, oh, here it is. It's not just a logo, a brand, or words that might seem offensive to the uninformed. It is the very definition of who we are. It's a way of life. It's a state of mind and a state of constant thriving that is etched into the facet of our work. If you can't do work without what my kids and I call cuss-cusses, without being offensive, without reading the room, so to speak, then maybe you're not in the right line of work. So I just had to share the story, did a story on it last night. I'm going to follow the money a little more because California-based groups, by the way, please, for the love of all that's holy, California municipalities should not be brought to Alabama. Like, what? Who thought that was a good idea? Who thought, you know what? This failing California nonprofit, let's go ahead and import them, their bad ideas, and some of their people to Alabama, to Birmingham, Alabama, and give them millions and millions of dollars. I can't wrap my head around the absolute insanity of that. All right. Well, for those of you tuning in, you've got April Marie here. I've been enjoying my morning with you. If you want to follow me online, first off, I will tell you, I'm not as online as I used to be. I took about a 7-year sabbatical from Twitter because what I learned is that I was constantly glued to my phone. Now I do that. Now I'm glued to it in a different way, but that's usually trying to follow stories for 1819 News and my guest radio appearances. But for a while, I was glued to my phone, watching social dramas and melodramas and watching people troll people and trolling people myself. And I found it was just an unhealthy way to live my life. I would rather be present. So I am on social media. You can find me on X at APRYLMARIE and chat with me there. I have Facebook. I don't really participate on the Book of Faces that much. Again, it's just a matter of prioritizing my time and making sure I'm as present as I can be with my family. So don't get angry if you send me a message and I don't see it. I just try not to live on those things. When we come back from this next break, I think Sean Sullivan is going to join us for a few minutes of my last segment. And I also want to get into some of what's happening with these liberal protests around the country. We're continuing to see the ICE stuff, the anti-immigration efforts being pushed around the country because it's really, really horrible to have people out there enforcing our immigration laws. Because it's really, really awful to have people out there trying to make sure that if someone has a deportation order already against them, that those people are actually deported.
Crazy times.
Talk about the ICE stuff. We'll talk about some of these other. I want to get Sean's take on the No Kings events. All of that and more in our final segment of today's Jeff Worship. Hold tight. Few minutes left of this morning. Good morning, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Jeff Poor. I guess I probably should have coordinated with him to know if he was actually in the studio. Sean's going to be joining us at some point. I guess he'll just jump in and say hello when he gets here.
Hello.
You will. That was startling. The one, the only, Sean Sullivan.
Howdy.
Oh, hello, sir.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's good. Good. I got a show starting in about 12 minutes here. So, you know, ready to go.
Are you ready to go? Or are you just going to wing it?
I never wing it. No, I don't wing it. I study beforehand. I mean, sometimes I drop all that stuff that I've studied up on. And I do wing it, but I come in prepared.
Prepared. I do that. I do that more often than I should probably admit, where I have, I've got a whole list of subjects to go over today, and there's probably five that I didn't actually get to. I just started talking about these continuing ICE, the leftist causes that the left are protesting on right now. If you look at them, no ICE, no kings, and free Palestine.
Yeah.
This is quite the hill they have chosen to die on. And I actually think it's very funny. What do you do when you're one of these leftists who actually has no job, no conscience, and no real principles, and there are all three going on at the same time?
Hey, the question is, we can play it idealistically or pragmatically. They can keep this up and towards what, you know, normally at a midterm, the party that's not in power in the executive branch does well, right? I mean, it's just part of the cycle. It's the pendulum back and forth. I think if they continue this track, they will not do well in the midterms.
No, that's fair.
But idealistically, so break those down, the no kings thing, right? I get the idea because Trump in words, maybe more than action, comes off as, you could, if you already dislike Trump, right, and you have, you're set, so he'll say things, he'll troll those people, so it makes it easier to say, well, he just wants to be a king. So he wants to do that. And then you have the trolling comes back from Trump supporters go, yeah, he's my king or whatever, you know, which is, I mean, at that point, I hope they're not serious that they want a king. And they troll. And so that gets amplified. Does that make a difference in a hill of beans to whether you get a job, your kids get a better education, what your tax, what your tax liability is? No, it doesn't. But so many times the discussion is always in these things that are in the periphery instead of, kitchen table. Right. Issues. I mean, what do we end up talking about most is transgender this. Right. We talk about foreign policy that we talk about whether somebody wants to be a totalitarian or not. None of these things day in and day out actually are the things that people are facing. Trump did a good thing. And when he goes in and starts talking about things that are everyday issues for people. And I think that's why he gets support out there now. This Iran thing, it's been interesting to me. It seems like the guy that's in his first term was talking about keeping us out of wars and into his second term when he campaigned, keeping us out of wars. He seems to be on the edge of it. I know there's whenever like the Jeff has said it, when the people on MSNBC start quieting down about Trump, they're OK with this thing on Iran. I worry. I worry even more when Lindsey Graham and John Bolton are excited about an idea. So,
yeah.
So to me, that's a bigger deal. You want to talk about free Palestine. What about do we want our sons and daughters, ending up in a war in the Middle East again? I mean, I think that's a fair thing to talk about. I mean, if they were out protesting, let's not have boots on the ground in Iran. Well, you might disagree with it, but I think that's a solid protest. That's a kitchen table thing for parents that have children that may enlist or family members are already enlisted.
Well, and here's the thing is, I think that the conversations around you know, where has Trump evolved? Trump has said for, and he talked about this yesterday at the flagpole. Did you watch his flagpole speech yesterday?
Yeah, I did watch some of the flagpole stuff. I did watch the guy sleeping in the piece of machinery more than anything.
He has said no nuclear weapons for Iran, and we have to stop that. And we're not going to allow that and all of the things. It's not like this is a new position.
No, it isn't. But we also have been told, right, and fairly enough, I'm not in there with the Mossad looking at the intelligence, but we have been told, it seems like for a decade or a decade and a half, they're just about to have the, you know, refined uranium to make the weapon, right? I mean, it was always, this just about to happen, and it never did happen.
Has that moved forward? And what do we do? What does it look like if it has? And it's so interesting to me that it really is I'm watching, you know, the Tuckers and the Steve Bannons and the, you know, the people just immediately take a side. That's been, to me, I'm like, wow. Well, good thing the president doesn't make military decisions based on Twitter discussions. Because Twitter's pretty solidly in the let's not get engaged no matter what scenario. And I look at this and I think I saw a post the other day and it was like a list of five or six pundits. And it's like, they all say we don't get engaged, so we don't get engaged. I'm like, that's very clearly not how the Constitution works. No, nowhere have I seen anything where it's like we're going to govern, or crazier yet, we're going to decide our national defense or foreign policy based on a committee of Fox and former Fox News analysis.
No joke
to be made of Hegseth at that point.
It's the cheapest focus group you could ever have, though, right? So, you worked in the machine, focus grouping ideas, seeing how the people come out on those. I mean, you watch that through a lot of the 90s and 2000s, ideas that would, a politician would run one way and all of a sudden change, you know, 180, which I'm still open to people. If politician changes their opinion on something and they give me the reason they did, they said, hey, right, you know, I got this other information. Right. I mean, that's being a human being. But, you know, if you're going to social media to see what we should do with our country, probably not the best. At that point, we'll save the money, not have a president. We'll just have a vote every day online.
Yeah, could you imagine governing by polls? In some ways and aspects, that it's comically funny, right? Like, should we be funding LGBTQ Muppets in Syria? Probably not. I can have that discussion online and feel like I'm okay with taking a pundit's vote on that. Mm-hmm. Should we or should we not trust intel that we do or don't have publicly? Blah, blah, blah. Like that, it's like, people stop. Take a beat. And let's see where we are. We saw, and I did this myself with COVID. We saw with COVID the PR efforts that were pro shutdown, pro mask, you know, all of the things that were later proven to, you know, pro vaccination for kids and crazy orders. There was a huge public relations push on that influenced everywhere our country is. And I'm watching this now happen with a potential wartime decision.
100%. Wait, good analogy. Good analogy. Because I mean, it seems like if you go, certain places, Fox News has now decided that we need to go to war, you know, and there are people talking about there. Then you get the alternative media. You got a Tucker, somebody who says we shouldn't go to war. But it is. It's like it's now we're all going to pivot. Now it's this thing. And I'm going to talk about Whoopi Goldberg, what she had to say about Iran early in my show next hour, too. You got the folks on The View telling you you got Whoopi Goldberg says, you know, don't strike Iran. Tucker Carlson says, don't strike Iran. They're coming at it from, I'd say, different places, but at least there's some alternative media to push back.
Two very strange people.
Tucker and Whoopi together. Put them out on the road. We got a tour there.
That is quite the tour. So it's been really interesting to watch, just from the perspective of, we lived this once, right? We saw as a nation, and I, you know, again, personally, how susceptible a crazy funded disinformation campaign can be. So I'm watching and listening. Well, thanks for letting me fill in for Jeff today, Sean. I really appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate it too. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned for Sean Sullivan in Midday Mobile. This has been April Marie, and it's been a blast.